Well, turn to 1 John chapter 5. We used this verse a couple weeks ago. We had a divine interruption last week. We're glad for that. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, in the world we got a lot of problems, a lot of drama, a lot of tension, a lot of misunderstanding. But Jesus tells us, God tells us in his word, Jesus is the word, that we can overcome. You know, when you come over, you come around, you come through, you come by, you come past something, some obstacle, some tension. And we don't ever use the word victory if there's not an enemy. You know, when they say, oh, we won, we had victory, it means somebody else was trying to win. Isn't that how we use the word? So he said that we can win over any drama, any dilemma in the world. And that's really good news. And it says we're going to win by our faith. So we're talking about what faith is because we want to win. God wouldn't tell you to win, that you could win, if he didn't want you to win. Winning is his will for you. It is part of his plan. This verse is very much akin to Jeremiah 29:11, when God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. God has a future for you, and that future says, victory is mine, victory is mine. Victory always is mine. Victory. And victory is going to come by faith. You're going to win, prevail, dominate, be on top, be out front because of your faith in God. Jesus said the disciples have faith in God. It's not really faith in a book. It's faith in the God of the book. The God who authored the book. The God who sent you his word so that you would know his will. Now, faith starts where the will of God is known. You have to know the will of God. You have to know the plan of God. Now look at Romans chapter 10. In order to walk by faith. If we're not certain what God wants, what God is saying, then we're insecure. You can never be secure and not fully understand what God is saying to you. Confidence is confidence in God. And when we pray his will in great confidence. Now, we look this verse. Everybody knows this verse, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. I always quote the minister on TV. Said, it must not have been there, for it cometh there. It wouldn't have had to come there. I just thought that was absolutely profound. I've been carrying that saying around for probably 2 decades. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So confidence in God and the will of God is going to come to you through the word of God and by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the teacher. He teaches us all things, so he brings the word to our attention. One lady facing surgery, not knowing what to do, the doctor said it's optional, but, you know, have you ever had one of those reports? And she doesn't know exactly what to do, and she began to pray in the Spirit. And this verse came to her. See, the Holy Spirit takes the verses. And I know this verse is totally out of context, but he spoke it to her heart. She knew exactly what he meant. And said, what God hath joined together, let not man part asunder. And what would that mean to you? Forget the surgery. Don't do it. And she didn't do it. And 30 years later, she still hasn't needed to do it. Almighty God knows all things, and so he explains the word to us, and then the Spirit of God personalizes things to us so we'll know what we're supposed to do, the will of God. You know, it's wonderful if I can see the will of God for you, but it's better if I can see the will of God for me. Because I can't obey for you, but I can obey for me. Now, faith comes by hearing, but hearing is only the beginning. Hearing the word of God, determining the will of God by the word and by the Spirit is only the beginning. Then it talks about Israel, verse 18 says, haven't they heard? The truth was, Israel did hear. They did know God's word. It happens every day that somebody's not insecure about what God has said. They just haven't responded to what God has said. They're not doers of the word. They're hearers only. Now look at James chapter 1. Wonderful verses of scripture. Verse 22. This is actually written in a song. It's in the hymn book. It says, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers. Not hearers only, be ye doers of the word. Now, that may not be the profoundest music that you ever heard. It's maybe not up to Mozart and some of these other people, but it impacts your heart because it's straight from the scripture. And some man authored that, and I used to tease our musicians in an earlier decade that that would be an excellent song to sing, and they said, we'll work it up for the band. I noticed that you never heard it, but it has real impact. And it's amazing we sang that when I was a girl, and I can still sing it, because the word of God impacts your heart, and that's what you want to do. You place the word in your heart in the good days, so in the bad days it comes back to you and rescues you. Be ye doers and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. A hearer is deceived. Now, hearer is the one that has knowledge, has understanding, knows the will and plan of God, and it's not enough. Victory is by faith, But faith begins with hearing, but that's not all there is to it. Now, there are going to be people in hell who knew that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, but they didn't act or respond to what they knew. You know you've spoken to your children. They heard exactly what you said. They knew exactly what you meant, knew exactly what you wanted them to do, and they totally ignored you. They were hearers only. Now, it said, don't be a hearer only. But here's what it tells us to do in verse 25. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty. There are a lot of Greek words for look. The Greek language is not like the English. If I say I love you, you don't know. We say I love the dog, I love my friends, I love my husband. It's all the same word. You have to know in context what kind of love I'm talking about. Well, the Greek doesn't do that so much. It gives you a different words. And this word looks means bend over and look at it. Well, when you bend over and look at it, you've got it before your eyes. You're concentrating on it. And look into the perfect law of liberty. This is the truth that will set you free. This word of God is going to set us free. It says, look at the word of God. Now, you're looking at it so you can hear it, so you can get the truth, so you can do something with the truth, so you can do what God said to do. Because hearers only will not receive the fullness of God's blessing and benefit. Look, bend over, stoop over, lean over, and look at it. He being not a forgetful hearer. That's the same kind of looking you do, you know, as you get older and your eyesight's not as keen. You have to bend over closer to see it. That's what God's saying. Get a little closer. Make sure you see that. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. Who's the man that's going to be blessed? The doer. Not the man with knowledge. But you can't do what you don't know to do. Can you? You have to hear so you'll know what to do. Once you hear, I had this sentence, came up in my spirit yesterday while I was pondering. I wrote it down for you. Yeah, I'm from Auburndale. You may be able to tell this by this sentence. If you ain't heard, you can't do. But if you haven't heard, if you have heard, you must do. If you ain't heard, you can't do it. But if you have heard, you must do it. If you're going to have victory. Sin is two parts of the same coin. Just depends on the person. Some people are real inclined to say, well, I didn't know. Well, take time to know. Bend over, stoop over, lean over. You lean over the word and you lean into the spirit, lean into the wind of the spirit and say, deal with me. I love that verse in Hebrews. Deal with me so that I can know. I said, Lord, I'm committed to you. I'm submitted to you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to obey. Then it says, that's the man that's blessed. It compares it to looking into a mirror. When you look into a mirror, you can see all your faults and flaws. You know men shave and they cut themselves and they put a little tissue there and they're going to take it off before they go home, before they leave the house. And they take it all till lunch, they're still wearing their tissue. What happened? They left the mirror. And that's what this says. They just left the mirror. Once they left the mirror, they quit seeing. So if you leave the mirror of God's word, you may not keep seeing. Bend over, lean over, stoop over, keep looking, continue looking, because you're going to abide in the word and the word's going to abide in you because you're going to be a doer. Unless you don't want to be blessed. Unless you don't want things to work out. Because it says victory is going to come by faith. It means it is going to work out. Your faith in God is going to make this thing work out. Now look in Genesis. Let's look at Abraham. He's a sharp, sharp example of a doer. He heard from God. He obeyed God. He was a doer. Genesis chapter 12. Interesting thing about doing. Once I know what to do, I don't have to fully understand it because I trust in God. I have confidence in Him. Maybe I couldn't explain it all, but I know God has dealt with me. The other day I had a concept. I was thinking about making a change. It wasn't a change I really wanted to make, but I just felt like I was hearing from God. So when Suzanne came in the office, I said, you know, we need to revisit some things. And she came up with it instantly. I said, thank you, Lord. And so we did that. It confirmed to me. It didn't take her. I didn't have to hint at it. She knew what we were talking about, what changes we could make. Now, I wouldn't have done that, except I had a sense of that in the spirit. And I was dealing with it 2 or 3 days, shifting gears, thinking, why would I do that? See, the why. You know how narrow your spiritual vision is? It's about that wide. Wayne's always had very keen vision. I've been wearing glasses since elementary school. And my family, they're all bird watchers. They know their birds. They know their butterflies and all their worms apart. This is very important. If you get our newsletter, you see we do a lot of nature photography to prove our point, to illustrate what we're seeing from the Word, because our family's nature photographers. And so we do a lot of that. We have a wonderful new, I'm going to show it to you eventually when we come to that in the Scripture, a wonderful new 5-minute clip on being a new creature. It's absolutely marvelous that Suzanne's put together for us. But they're always looking way down the line, looking at some bird on a fence post. And they're always guessing what bird it is, except Suzanne. She knows what it is. 99 times out of 100, she's going to know what bird it is. Me, I'm just trying to locate the fence post. That's how keen my vision is. What post? Where post? Where you see a bird? I don't see a bird. Where's a bird? The other day, Wayne's taking a picture of a squirrel. Do you know they eat the seeds off the crepe myrtle? They were clipping those seeds, the whole pod. You know, it's a pod, like a grapevine. After it blooms, it leaves these little seeds. And they were eating the whole pod off and carrying it off with them and eating those seeds. And Wayne's taking their picture in the tree. I'm just trying to look, I don't know which tree was that? Because my vision isn't as keen. I can't see through the leaves. Like, I don't know how they do that. See through the leaves and see a brown squirrel that looks like a trunk of a tree eating a seed pod on the side of the crepe myrtle. Thinking, what tree? Now, what tree? Where was that? I'm all time missing something. That's the way our spiritual vision is sometimes. That's why we have to have the Holy Ghost resident on the inside, because He knows and you don't know. And once He tells you, all you have to do is hear and obey. You don't have to fully understand. Do you think Abraham thought it was a good idea to offer Isaac on the altar? He didn't. Do you think he understood that? I'm not sure that he did. Now look at Abraham's a wonderful example of being a hearer and a doer. The Lord said. Now if you have the word of God, that's verse 1. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, to a land that I'll show thee. And Abraham was a very wealthy man. He had many servants, entourage of people. So moving was a really big deal. Why would he move if he was comfortable? Because God said. Because the Lord said. Because the Lord said. Now look, verse 4. So Abraham departed. That's wonderful, isn't it? Is he a doer or just a hearer? He's a doer. And I know from reading the life of Abraham, he didn't understand it all. Now look at chapter 17. Oh, Abraham is such a wonderful doer. Who's going to be blessed, the hearer? No, the doer. Can you do what you've not heard? No. Can you hear and not do? Yes, but not successfully. Chapter 17, verse 23. God gave instructions that all the males were to be circumcised. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all that were born in his house, all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the self same day as God had said. Do you see that? You know, I believe in being sure and secure. Sometimes that makes us a little slow to obey. Let's leave that where it lies. Look at verse chapter 21. You don't want to move before you are sure, but once you are sure, you do want to move. In the self same day, he knew he'd heard from God. Verse 4. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Quick to obey. The secret is find out what God is saying. You know, I don't know what God's saying unless I take time to sit with God and let the Spirit of God deal with me. You know, I can't know what Wayne is thinking. If he's always in the shop, I'm always in the house. Or he's always on the lawnmower, and I'm always in the kitchen. We have to sit together. We used to go to a fast food restaurant not far from the house when the children were in their teens, and we would leave them. They'd want to go, and I'd say, no, you can't go. Joel in his 11, 12, and 13, he'd always beg to go. We'd go down and have coffee and stay about 30 minutes because they were old enough to stay by themselves. I don't know if they would be today, but they were in that era. Time changes things. And he'd say, why can't I go? I said, because I'm going down to look in your daddy's blue eyes. And he thought about that. You could see his little wheels turning. We're like, what? Why? We have to take time to communicate. I have to take time to communicate. Someone asked me, they said all the right things. I haven't gotten my healing. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and done that. And everything they said to me was exactly according to the Word of living God. And the one thing I know, they have to take time to sit with God, to sit in His presence and let the Spirit of God soak and saturate. Like a sponge, you begin to soak in the Word. You begin to soak in the presence of God. Healing is a combination of faith and power. Faith comes from the Word. The power comes from the Spirit of God. As you sit in the presence of the Word, then the Spirit of God can pour forth into you and begin to work in you. And it's a wonderful combination, but we have to be quick to obey. A lot of people in healing lines haven't heard anything. If you ask them what word they're standing on, what does God say about your situation, they do not know. They're not hearers. You can be a hearer who doesn't do. You can be a doer who hasn't heard anything. You're striking off what seemed like a good idea, seemed like it might work, what everybody else is doing. And it might work for everybody else. It might not work for you. And then you're discouraged. You're uptight. Take time to be a hearer. And then once you hear, once you soak in the Word, once you saturate, you know, if you go have your toes done, they put you in water. They want you to soak up. They want everything to soften. Well, in the presence of the Lord, your heart begins to soften. And you begin to sense His move and His leadership. And the more I sat with Him, the more I thought, you know, this is a change we need to make. I don't have a clue why we would do that, but we are. And I said, what do you think we make some changes? And she said, well, I was thinking we ought to do so-and-so. I thought, me too. Oh, I'm so glad God works everywhere. He's everywhere present. Now let's go back to Abraham as a doer. Look at verse 14. God told Abraham to send Hagar away. Hagar had borne Abraham's first son, Ishmael. Abraham did not want to do it. Verse 12, God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, because of thy bondwoman, who is Hagar. In all that Sarah has said, hearken unto her voice, and all, and Isaac shall your seed be numbered. Sarah had said, send him away. And Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might serve thee. He's not interested in sending Ishmael away. And God said, no, she's right. Send him away. And it says, verse 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and bottle of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. Why? God had said. It's just that simple. Who's going to be the blessed? The doer who hears and knows what God is saying, how God is dealing with him, and does. Now look at Abraham again at chapter 22. You don't want to be so fast. Some things you do are sealed in cement. You can't undo them. But you don't want to be so slow that you're behind either. So walk with God. Verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto Abraham, Abraham said, behold, here am I. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the mountains, which I will tell thee up. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He got right on it. That's amazing, isn't it? Once God had spoken, he obeyed. Hearers and doers. Now look at verse 18, God's word on Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Where'd the blessing come from? The blessing's not in hearing. Oh, hearing's always a blessing. You know, if you read a good book, I wouldn't be on the top 100 list of readers. Don't like to read. But we have some readers in our family, and they come in with books that look like an encyclopedia. They could, phew, are you going to read all those words? They were so determined for me to read a book on the Civil War. It's actually a Civil War diary. It's the actual diary of the lady who lived the war. It's a wonderful thing, but I'm not going to read it. I don't like to read. You make whatever excuse you wear, but if you don't know what God's saying, you ain't reading what God's saying, you can't do what God's doing, you're not going to be blessed in what you're doing. So what they did was, she took out 30 pages, one page at a time, and said, read this page and this page and this page. I read them. I only know those 30 things, what's on those 30 pages. Interesting how they hid the silverware. Interesting things. Suzanne loves history, and she's an avid reader, and she could read two volumes of encyclopedia by afternoon. Not me. But she was determined, and I'm determined today that you should be a hearer, because hearers know what to do. And if you don't hear and you don't do, you're not successful. The Holy Ghost has to deal with you, guide your footsteps, and says, this is the way, walk you in it, and then you have to walk there. And this man, the one who bends over, stoops over, leans over the word, finds out what God said and puts that into action. Now look at Numbers, chapter 13. That's the man that's blessed, the doer. I am ever so grateful for my spiritual heritage, ever so grateful. We were raised to read our Bible every day. Every day. Every day we read our Bible. Every day, I'm talking every day we read our Bible. And as a teenager, you'd forget. At about midnight, I remember one night hopping up, looking at the clock, hoping it wasn't midnight yet. Because we were raised under the letter of the law, which wasn't necessarily the good part of my upbringing, but was part of it. And I thought, oh, I haven't read my Bible today. I hope it's not tomorrow yet. That was my thought. But we've been over it all the time. Someone said, you have a lot of word memorized. I have very little memorized. I'm a reader of the word. And as I read the word, the Spirit of God begins to deal with you. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And he said, in all things, all states, whatsoever you find yourself, be content. I said, all right, Philippians, be content. That's right. That's what I'll do. He could bring that word to my remembrance because I had read that word. I'd thought about it in the past. Holy Ghost brings all things to your remembrance. It's like you read and you meditate and you have a file. I have a Holy Ghost file in there. I have a file of the word that Holy Ghost can pull from. You know, in our file system, I'm all the time looking for something I can't find. It's not that I don't know my alphabet, but is that we don't file alike. Suzanne does all the work and she files the papers. One day I'm hunting for invoice. I looked under I. Seemed a good place to look. It's not there. And I thought, well, I look under C for credit. We charge everything, pay everything off at the end of every single month. That's our norm. And I thought, we do that because it gives you more income accountability. It's easier to keep track of things that way. And I thought, well, this must be under C. I looked under C and I thought, okay, we have a certain bank card. It must be under B because it wasn't under C. So it must be under B. And I couldn't find it. I said, Suzanne, where is this invoice? She said, Mother, it's under P. I said, why? She said, because it's paid. I went, oh, I didn't think of that. So you've got to meditate till you know what God is saying. You've got to ponder till from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, your body resonates. You know, if you stand near a bell when they're ringing those big bells, just a big farm bell. If you ever been where they have these big farm bells called the farm hands in, I know most of you aren't as old as I am, you don't know that, but they used to have these big bells. Anybody know the farm bell? And they ring those bells. If you're standing next to that bell, you'll need two aspirin. Because it goes boing, 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 and it means way out in the acreage. It wants all the farmhands to come to lunch. And it resonates. And the word of God resonates. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And if I meditate in the word day and night, it begins to resonate in my being. And then when I need something, the Holy Ghost takes that word that's on the inside and says, this is what you do. This is what you do. This is what you do. Now, this is as profound as I get today. Doing is something you do. It's not something you think or ponder. You've thought about it. You've pondered it. Now you're ready to act. It's an action that you take. I think I'll skip numbers for now. Go to James. I've changed my mind already. Yeah. I was asking Daddy, my sweet Daddy, why he didn't eat the crust of the bread. I grew up in Auburndale at 304. At 304, we ate everything that was on our plate every single time. They dipped the plate. You ate it. A-L-L, all. And he skips things. And I said, Daddy, you're not going to eat all of that piece of bread? He said, no. I said, we always had to eat all the bread when we were growing up. He said, well, I've changed the rules. I said, how old do I have to be before I can change the rules? I just want to know. What day did that came? He said, okay, now you can change all the rules. God has spoken. He's unchangeable. He's faithful to his word, faithful to his covenant. What he said he will do and what he told you to do, he will perform, since he watches over his word to perform it. But he's waiting on you to hear and you to do, you to step out, and then he's going to carry you to victory. He can't carry you to victory if you're not moving. You know, I said, and it's because we haven't understood the anointing. I've been teaching on Wednesday night on the anointing. And when we get in the prayer line, it's like we think pastor's going to pour it on us, just pour it over us. But you have to be a recipient. You have to receive that. It's like you're asking for a glass of water. You want to reach out your hand, take the water. You want me to dump it on you? Pastor's not dumping it on you. seeing God's not dumping anything on you. He sees you moving in the word. He sees you're a hearer. He sees you begin to move. And then he comes alongside because in you he does abide. And then he carries you where you need to be because you're moving. It's like they say you can't move a parked car. You know, once you hear, you park long enough to hear. Park long enough to hear. Park long enough to soak up. Park long enough to saturate. And then move. And once you begin to move. And see, when I get in that prayer line, I come to receive. If there's anything being given out, I'm getting it. And I've got my heart open to receive. I'm not waiting on them to dump anything on me. This actually happened to me. It's happened to me twice. I was laying hands on people. And one was in a morning group. Lady asked for something. I laid hands on her. And she reached out and stripped my spirit of everything that was in it. Everything. Everything. That's the first time that ever happened to me. I was telling that to a minister, and he laughed and laughed. He said, I never heard that in my life. That can't even be. I thought, it can do, because I was there. And it happened to me a second time. And it's like when they saw you coming, they felt like you had a deposit of the Spirit. They reached out in the Spirit, and they just stripped you. I was going to a birthday dinner after that. Someone had to drive me. I couldn't drive. I've never been. I was just totally, completely empty. I was had nothing left in me. 3 or 4 weeks later, this pastor called me, and he says, guess what? He said, you were right. I said, well, I knew that. I was there. I was right. And see, you reach out and take what you need. But see, you're moving with God. You've heard from God. You've bent over. You've stooped over. You're hearing the word. You're hearing the spirit. And you're soaking and saturating like a sponge. And then you begin to move based on what God is saying with you. And then when you begin to move, Almighty God. Almighty God. You know the one that opened the Red Sea? He'll open your sea. He said, now walk through on dry land, Becky. Walk through, Becky. Walk through. But if I'm sitting up on the shore saying, that's a lot of water, you know. What are we ever going to do? That's a lot of water. But see, when he told Moses, stretch forth your rod. And Moses stretched forth his rods because Moses was a hearer and a doer that sea opened. If Moses had just stood there, wasn't anything opened. His sea opened because Moses was a doer. Now, this James is about doers. James chapter 2. James is not written to sinners. It's confused people because they think it's talking about being born again, but it isn't. Now you look at chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, written to Christians. You look at chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren. You look at chapter 3, verse 1, my brethren. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking about being born again. He's talking to people that are born again. And this is what he says to them. Verse 14 of chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren, talking to the Christians, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? In other words, he's talking about can knowledge alone, just because you know what to do. Can knowledge alone save you, rescue you, deliver you, set you free? Not talking about salvation, not talking about the new birth, talking about your dilemma, your trauma, whatever you need from God. Can your knowledge of what to do save you? No. And then he gives this example. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of all daily food, and any one of you say, S-A-Y, say, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Your words didn't help them, didn't profit them. What they needed was you to take them to some fast food restaurant. And don't give them money. Do not give a homeless man with a cell phone any money. You got to be careful. Some of them homeless people have cell phones. And they're calling one another, and they're taking turns. The other day, there were three taking turns at intersection. One day, there was a whole group in a van, a nice van, taking turns at intersection with a sign. And the average homeless man in some sections of our country makes $50,000 a year standing on the street corner with a sign. You be careful what you do with God's money. But what you say is not going to help them if someone is really destitute and really in need. It's what you do. And here's the verse that's repeated three times in this section of Scripture, verse 17. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, nobody expects anything of the man in the coffin, do they? He's not going to eat again. He's not going to dress himself again. He's not going to talk to you again, not till heaven anyway. Faith is dead without works. In other words, faith is just knowledge. You're a hearer. You've heard. You've taken time to hear. You've soaked in the Word of God. You've bent over. You've leaned over. And you know what God is saying. And that will not bring you the victory that you need. That will not be the blessing that you need. It's when you hear and you do. And if you just hear, if you just have faith in the sense that you've just taken time to hear from God, what you're doing is dead. In other words, it's lifeless. It's not profitable. It's not going to bring anything to you. There's no victory for hearers. But there's no victory without hearing. Begins with hearing, but can't stop there, you see. You know, you think about going to the store and you never go. You think you really need another box of cereal. You think, how many Cheerios is in there? You think we could go another day? I don't know about you, but it's not my thing. Well, you didn't profit anybody and get up the next morning. There's not enough cereal. It's because you didn't do what you knew to do. You have to hear and do. And here's it's repeated in verse 20. Oh, vain man, don't you know? Faith without works is dead. Second time he said that. When something's vain, it's futile, it's empty, it's profitless. You go to buy a new pair of shoes and somebody say, did you find your shoes? He said, no, I went in vain. I mean, there was no profit. I mean, you ran all over and you just didn't find any shoes. We lost a set of car keys. I looked everywhere. Couldn't find them. I did do my due diligence. I looked. I couldn't find them. They couldn't believe I wasn't going to keep looking. I said, well, I'm not going to keep looking. When the Holy Ghost tells me where they are, I'm going to go get them, but I'm not going to keep looking. And they went. And we found them. I'm not looking in vain, is what I'm telling you. I already did. I checked the sofa. I checked everybody's pocketbook. I called my sister. She checked her pocketbook. We checked both cars. They were not anywhere. I'm not wasting my time. And that's what says faith without works is wasting your time. To hear and not do, you might as well have not heard anything, because there is no profit for hearers. The profit and the blessing comes when you hear and you do. When you rise up like Abraham early in the morning, you say, yes, Lord, I will. So I think we sing, I say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, but we don't really mean it. We used to sing it. We don't sing it like we mean it. I say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say, yes, Lord, yes, if it's convenient, I'll obey. If I find I have the time and it does come back to my mind, then my answer is definitely yes, Lord, yes. Then you're not really a doer. I'm a doer. And sometimes I have to say, Lord, give me. I'm going to do that. I am really. Just give me a minute. Give me a minute. Especially if it's a phone call. Oh. Absolutely cannot stand the telephone. I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. First of all, I try to con everybody I know. I said, Wayne, you want to call? Or Suzanne's working that day. I say, you know, call and tell him we didn't get our envelope. Tell him mail us that envelope. She usually do that because she's salaried. But Wayne is not sorry. He does not always obey. He heard me. He knows I can't stand the phone. I have to get up my courage. I say, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. You know what happened to me on the telephone? It's you Christians wore me out when I used to coordinate nurseries. I coordinated nurseries long enough to develop a total distaste for the telephone. Well, we would, but... Oh, I could, but no, not but no. I was coming, but, you know, and I thought, you know, if I ever get where I don't have to make phone calls every week, I'm never making another phone call, and I don't make too many. Now, if you call me, I will talk to you. But I'm not calling you, that's what I'm telling you. So Becky didn't call me, I'm telling you in advance, I'm not calling. I mean, the Lord has to really deal with me, and I can say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do that. I am, in a minute, just give me a minute, just give me a minute, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. One time I had this lady I was supposed to call every week and check on her, how are you doing? I'm thinking, ah. It'd take me 24 hours of praying. You just don't understand. Does anybody understand? Oh, it'd take me 24 hours. I'd say, phew, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So you wouldn't want to call and see how she's doing with you. And he never will. Wayne will never, he will never bail you out on the telephone. Hearing and doing. You have to hear and do. If I tell him I'm going to call, I'm going to call. Here's the tip of the week. It's been on my mind. You're probably not the one that needs to hear it. Do not give your word and don't keep it. I love the little kitchen man that said, I'll be there, Miss Cumber, between 9 and 9:15. It's because he was determined to keep his word. If I say I'll call you tomorrow, I'm going to call you tomorrow. What I usually say is as soon as I have more information, I will call you or have someone call you. I gear my word so that I can easily obey. I don't say I'm going to call you on Monday, and then Monday comes and I don't call you. I get that all of the time from people who are supposed to be responsible, and they do not keep their word. And I think we need to just broaden our word and say, as soon as I know something, I'll call you. Or I will call you next week sometime between Monday at 9 o'clock and Friday at 5. Don't say something you can't do. Break your word, you become a liar. And then your children don't know. Anyway, that's nothing to do with anything, except that that's one of my pet peeves. So I always say, I'll be there between 10 and 10:30. I want to give myself time to be lost in traffic. Now look, verse 22. Well, let's read again, verse 26. The body without the spirit is dead. Faith without works is dead. One translation says faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith is something you do. You don't say, I have faith. You do faith. You do faith. You do it. You do it. It's something you do. Even to be saved, be born again, you did something. Whether you came from a walk the aisle church or you just lifted your hands to heaven and said, I take Jesus as my Savior. But you had to do something. You had to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Faith is not what you have. It's what you do. Faith is what you... And doing is action. And it says faith, in other words, knowledge, I've heard, I know, with no action, is like a dead man. You're not getting anywhere. And then it says the devil, verse 19, the devils believe that there's a God and tremble. Why aren't they saved if they believe there's a God? They're not doers. They're hearers only. They have the right knowledge. They have the right information. Sure enough, there is one God. They know that. It says they know that. But they're not doers. They're hearers only. What an example. That makes hearing and doing very graphic, doesn't it? The devil's here, but they don't answer. They don't call. They don't do. They don't say. You know, in the words of my mouth is something I do. If I constantly say, in some situations, there isn't much you can do. You begin to say what God said. I know, God, you're meeting my need out of your riches. I know you're giving me divine favor if I apply for these jobs. I know they're looking at me with your eyes and your vision. I know that the dead thine will never come without us having the money. I know the ministering spirits are out bringing us this thing that we need. Sometimes confession of the word is all you can do, but it's something you must do. Amen. And then to do it with thanksgiving and say, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're meeting our need out of your riches. Thank you that the money comes. Thank you that the angels are working to bring us the money. Thank you that we're not destitute. Thank you that you give us today the bread that we need. And to make a confession and to have a heart of thanksgiving. Heart of thanksgiving is very easy if you're bending over, looking over, continuing in the word. You bend over that word, says God will meet your need. And after a while you think, woo, meeting my need, got no physical evidence. You know, if I said, Daddy, I need $500, and he said, I'll write you a check in the morning, I wouldn't give that another thought. Wouldn't lose a moment's sleep. Wayne said, what are we going to do? I said, Daddy's going to write his check in the morning. And I'd just go right by them in the morning. I said, Daddy, did you have my check right? He said, sure, because he always keeps his word. He's a man of his word. Be a person of your word. Don't lie. Don't even accidentally lie. If you accidentally lie, say, excuse me, let me reword that. I'd like to say that differently. Because you're a responsible person and you're a hearer and a doer. You have to be a hearer and a doer if you want things to work out. If you want the victory that comes by faith, it comes to hearers and doers, not of hearers only. And that's what the scripture says from cover to cover. And it says the devil's here, but they don't do. And then it gives Abraham as an example. What a wonderful example Abraham is of hearing and doing. Well, you know what you have to do? You have to sit in the presence of the Lord and say, what to do, what to do, what to do. I said, Lord, as soon as I know what to do, I'm going to do it. And then as soon as, it's maybe too big a commitment, I say, Lord, within 24 hours of knowing what to do, I'm going to do it. Because I don't like liars, and I don't lie to anybody. I don't lie to God. And if I say I'm going to pray for you, I'm probably going to pray for you right that very second with you standing there so I don't forget it. And then if I think of it later, I may give you more prayer time. But I'm going to keep my word to you. Well, we thank you, Father. What a valuable lesson you've given us in your word. We don't want to do anything and be like a dead man. Not moving, not profiting, not benefiting, nothing's working out because we heard or we didn't do. Or we tried to do something, work it out. Sometimes we work it out, we haven't taken time to hear. We've got to take time to hear and determine your will and then do what you said do. We thank you that we're committed to you. We're fully committed to you. We're submitted to you. We're learning and growing all the time. We want to keep our word. We want you to give us the word to keep. Tell us what's important to us as individuals. And then we'll do, and then we'll say, and then we'll praise you and thank you, and things will come our way. By the hand of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.